Lamed Dalet Amid Aleph, 13 lines from the top. The Gemara is discussing what it said in the Mishnah, a few aspects about the Kiyah Shefer. Number one, that you blow three sets of each. And secondly, that you blow a tekiah, then a trua, then a tekiah. That means you blow a tekiah before and after each one. So the first the Gemara is discussing, you learn it out from various psukim, and then the Gemara says, Vahai Tana, on this Tana, Maisala Begzer Shavim Midbar. He learns out that you need a tekiah before and after each trua from the concept of Begzer Shavah of the Midbar. What happened? The Tanya says in the Braise, Uskatim Teruah, you have to blow Uskatim Teruah. Now Uskatim is Tekiah, and Teruah is the Teruah, meaning Tekiah Bifnei Atzma, you need to have a Tekiah, Uteruah Bifnei Atzma. The fact that the Torah says Uskatim Teruah is two words, one's Tekiah, one's Teruah, teaches us that you need a Tekiah before the Teruah. Then it says, Ateim Tekiah Bifnei Atzma, Teruah Bifnei Atzma. You say, that it's the tekiah by itself and trua by itself. Ella maybe ayena ella tekiah trua achasi. How do you know that it's two separate things? Maybe it's the same thing. You should blow a trua. How do you know it means tekiah is separate and trua is separate? So it says ukshayema when it says in the bus, bahakil es hakol when you gather the people. Tiska uvalei tariu. It says over there the trumpets in the midbar. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to make trumpets out of silver. And those trumpets were used for various things. You know, they didn't have email. So they used to blow a tekiah. The Jews gathered. There were different things. So sometimes he blew away that, in a way that the heads had to come. Sometimes all the people had to come, whatever. So over there it says, when you gather the nation, tisku, you should blow a tekiah, v'loitariyu, and don't blow a teruah. So you see that tekiah and teruah are two separate things. So therefore, when the Torah says "uskatem trua," it means you have to blow a tekiah and a trua. Then it says "havaimi." You see from here, tekiah b'fnei atzma, utrua b'fnei atzma. Okay. Now, uminayin shepshuta lefanel. Now, where do we know? That the tekiah comes before the trua. Okay, the pasuk says "uskatem trua." But maybe it means you have to blow both. How do you know the tekiah comes first? Talmud Lameh, so it says in the pasuk, uskatem trua. It says clearly, first uskat tekiah, then a trua. Uminayin shepshuta lafachreha. So how do you know you blow a tekiah afterwards? Okay, from this pasuk we learn out that you have to blow a tekiah before the trua. Where do we learn out that you have to blow a tekiah after the trua? Talmud Lameh, trua yisku. There's another passage that says you should blow trua yisku'u. Simply means you should blow a trua. But again, here it says trua first, then yisku'u, which is tekiah. So what you learn out from here, very simple. It says uskatim trua, teaches us you need to blow a tekiah and a trua. Then it says trua yisku'u. So you see, tekiah has to follow the trua. That's what the first Tana holds. Then the Gemara, the Braitha says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Yehoshua, Rabbi Yechem ben Braika Imed, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yechem ben Braika, says, Ein etzarech. You don't need this pasuk to learn it out. You can learn it out from a different pasuk. Why? Hari Imed says in the pasuk, Uskatem trua sheinis. Blow a second trua. Okay? She'ein tamad leim sheinis. It doesn't have to say a second time because it's understood that you have to blow a second time. Mata malay mishenis. Why does it say shenis, second one? Because zebini of this is a source, so to speak, it's a source for all places. Shakom makim shenemet trua. That whenever it says trua, it has to be tekiah shniyala. It has to be a tekiah following it. Meaning the fact that it says trua shenis, and shenis is extra, teaches us that the tekiah, because the pasuk says as follows: uskatem trua shenis. Which teaches us that the shenis goes on the tekiah. Meaning tekiah, trua, and then a second tekiah. So then he says, Einli ala ben midbar. I only know this, that this would happen in the desert, when Moshe Rabbeinu was gathering the Jews. But Rosh Hashanah, minayin, how do I know in Rosh Hashanah is the same din? That you have to blow tekiah, trua, tekiah, Talmud Lamer. Because we learn in the Torah, trua, trua, l'gzeir shavah. By the Midbar it says Trua. By Rosh Hashanah it says Trua. So therefore we learn out one from the next. Just like in the desert, it says Shainis, which means you have to blow a second Tekiah following the Trua. The same thing on Rosh Hashanah, you have to blow a Tekiah before and a Tekiah afterwards. Okay? Now, until now, at least in this Gemara, because last week we learned addition to this, but so far the Gemara is learning that you have to blow Tekiah through a Tekiah. The other Gemara is going to discuss how do you know it has to be done three times. So before in the Gemara there was a different opinion how we know it's three times. This is a different opinion. It says concerning Rosh Hashanah three times the word Trua. Okay? And the Gemara is going to learn from the fact that it says three times the word Trua teaches us that you have to blow Trua three times. But we know already you have to blow Tekiah before and after. So if you really learn out, you have to blow three sets. And he says, V'shalish Trua is Nemer B'Rosh Hashanah. He says the word Trua three times by Rosh Hashanah. Where? One pasuk says, Shabbosim Zichrim Trua. It should be a day of blowing Shefer. Another pasuk says, Yem Trua. And then it says, V'avarta Shefer Trua. So the fact that the Torah says three times blow a Trua teaches us you need three sets. And like he says, Ushtei Tekiyas L'chol Achas V'Achas. And you need two Tekiyas, one before, one after, for each Trua. Matzina L'meidim. From here we learn, Sholosh Truas. You have to blow three sets. Tekiyas, I'm sorry, then it says, V'sheish Tekiyas Nemru B'Rosh Hashanah. So L'Perl, based on this Gemara, the Gemara says like this, you have three Truas, plus a Tekiyah before and after. So it's altogether six Tekiyahs and three Truas. That's what you see from the title. But the Gemara says, the six Tekiyahs that we blow on Rosh Hashanah, Shtayim Medivrei Torah, two are biblical, V'achas Medivrei Sefer, and one is only rabbinic.
I have a question.
Yeah.
There seem to be several verbs connected to blowing the shofar, that it's got Avata, and there are a few others that make you play the shofar. Does that have meaning?
It does. The Gemara's question is, and the Gemara's going to elaborate more on this, because some of them are by Yovel,
yeah.
Some of them are by Rosh Hashanah. In fact, the Gemara's going to explain that, and the next good piece of Gemara is going to go away with the concept of, I can only use it to teach me three Truas and six Tekiyahs if I don't need the Pasuk to teach me anything else. In other words, in Torah, if there's an extra pasuk, I learn things from it. If it's not extra because I need it for whatever, then I can't learn extra things out of it, right? That's why the Gemara is going to say, from the three Truas that are biblical, that the Torah says to blow, two are biblical and one is rabbinic. Another opinion is going to say, one is biblical, two are rabbinic. Why? Because you want to learn it out from the fact that it says three times the word Trua. One opinion says, only one two truas are extra. And the third trua is not extra. So it can be biblical, it can only be rabbinic. And this is what the Gemara is going to go, but the Gemara is going to discuss there really, if you look in Chumash, there's more words trua.
Yeah. But
the point is, if I need it for whatever, then I can't use it to learn something else out.
Yeah.
That's the way Torah goes. I mean, it's very logical. If the Torah uses an extra word, and nothing in Torah is extra, so it teaches me something. And like we learned before in the Gemara, if I don't even need it for this, use it for somewhere else where I could use it. But if the word is needed, and the Gemara is going to discuss the problem, and a lot of the words trua are really needed. So you can't just learn things out of it. If let's say the Torah says the word trua 10 times, let's say, you can't learn out, you blow 10 truas. Because if they're all needed, it's not going to teach me. That's what it says. Shtayim medivri teira, two of the truer blowings are from the teira, va'achas medivri sefer, and one is rabbinic. So the Gemara says, why? Which one? Shabbosin zichrin trua, the pasuk of zichrin trua, and va'avarta shefer trua, meaning the first and last of the three, are medivri teira, are from the teira, because those are extra. Yain trua yelachem l'talmud ahil b'yadi. It needs to tell me that there's a gzeira shava from Rosh Hashanah to the desert. because some of these psukim are by the desert. So if the Gemara is saying there's only two extra psukim, because one pasuk I need to teach me to learn out Rosh Hashanah from the desert. And if I need to learn out Rosh Hashanah from the desert with that word, it's not extra. Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni says even more. Ahaz medivrei Torah, only one is biblical. Ushtayim medivrei Sefer, and two are rabbinic. Of the three truas. Why? Because Vavarta Sefer Truah is in the Torah. But Shabbos and Zichrin Truah, a Yom Truah Yielachem, is the Talmud Yubiyadai, comes to teach us a din for itself. So it's not extra. The Gemara asks right away, why isn't it extra? What do I need to learn out from the pasuk? He says very simple. How do you know you have to blow shofar during the day? Maybe I could blow shofar at night too. Or maybe I have to blow shofar at night. Because it says, Yom Teruah Yelachem. Yom means day. So if I need Yom Teruah to teach me, you have to blow shofar during the day and not at night, then it's not extra. So he says, of the three psukim, only one is extra. And if one is extra, only one true is biblical. The Chachamim said, okay, two more also. The first opinion said, two are biblical because both are extra. But the Gemara is going to ask, according to the first opinion, who says two are extra, how does he know that you have to blow shofar only during the day? Maybe you could blow shofar at night. Yeah, but when do you blow shofar?
Yeah, but it's Yom Shabbat, that's also Friday.
Correct. But now the Torah says Yom Teruah.
Yeah.
Or like we learn out by Sukkot, not Lulav, by sitting in the Sukkot, the Torah says, by Sukkot Teishu Shivas Yomim. You have to sit in the Sukkot 7 days. The word Yom is needed for the thing itself. By Lula, for instance, it says, Ulakachtam lochem, you should take for yourself, Bayom harishim, on the first day. Why does it say Bayom harishim? So it teaches us, you can't do Lulav at night. If somebody, the night of Sukkot, benches Lulav, they didn't do the mitzvah. Why? Because it says, Yom harishim. By Shofar, you're right. L'cheira, Rosh Hashanah begins at night. So just like Sukkot, you eat in Sukkot in the night. Why, maybe you could blow shofar at night. So one opinion, the Gemara says, because it says Yom Teruah. Therefore, it's not extra. But the first opinion said Yom Teruah was extra. So the Gemara says, how does he know that you have to blow shofar only during the day? Maybe Yutaka could blow shofar at night. So he says, the Idach, and according to the first opinion, that says Yom Teruah is extra. So he said, how do you know that you have to blow shofar only during the day and not at night? So he says, he learns it out from Yom Kippurim. Okay, because Yom Kippurim, and by the way, this is speaking about blowing shofar on Yovel. In the 50th year, you blow shofar. So it says, Yom teaches us day. And we learn out Rosh Hashanah from Yovel anyway. So just like by Yovel had to be done the day of Yom Kippur, the same thing, Rosh Hashanah, you can only blow shofar the day of Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, if you're already learning out from Yovel, so learn everything out from Yovel. Meaning, if we're learning it out from Yovel, so why don't you learn out that the pshuta lefanel, pshuta lachara, then learn it out before and after also that you need a tzkiyah. In other words, the Gemara, one opinion before, the Gemara said, you learn it out from Yovel. Second opinion said, no, we don't learn it out from Yovel. But even that opinion that says we don't learn it out from Yovel still needs to learn out Rosh Hashanah from Yovel. That it has to be by day, not at night. So the Gemara's question is, if you're already learning it out from Yovel, so just learn everything out from Yovel already. Why are you learning out from different psukim? Because the Gemara says, because v'avarta tavidu le'mashmalei. Because by Yovel it says Ta'avidu Shefer. By Rosh Hashanah it says Vahavarta Shefer Truah. He says you can't learn out that respect one from the next. Elamai Darshubo, so how does he learn it? So he says Vahavarta because it says Kedivre, Kedrav Masna. Vavata teaches me a different din like Rav Masna says. What does Rav Masna say? He says an interesting halacha. Damer Rav Masna, Vavarta, when it says in the Torah, you have to, doesn't say blow shofar. Vavarta actually means pass shofar. So what does it mean? Derech Averosa, it has to be done the way it's carried. Meaning, explain in a second. Taviru, Nabre Biyad, that you have to carry the shofar, I would think it means carrying it by your hand, not blowing it. Meaning as follows. Number one, what happens if somebody blows from the white part of the shofar? So there's two ways of saying it. Most mafarshim learn the normal way is with heat, you know, you can, how do they form the shofar? They actually form it with heat. They put it into boiling hot fire, and then it could become soft, and then you can form the shofar to the shapes and sizes that you find the shofar today. They don't necessarily grow that way on the animal. A lot of times with heat, you form the shofar. What happens if somebody took a shofar and made the white part of the shofar skinny, narrow, and the narrow part wide, and they blew from the white part, which is now narrow? You're not yaitzim. Or in other cases, whatever, the guy has such a big mouth that he could take a shofar and blow from the wider part of the shofar. So the din is you're not yaitzim. Why? Because it has to be done, as the Gemara says, derech averosa, the way it's carried, meaning the way the shofar normally is carried on the rim. So you have to blow from the narrow side of the shofar. In fact, the Gemara also learns it out. It says, min ha-meitza karosika, from the narrowness. To teach you, you have to blow the shofar from the narrow. But the second thing is, taviru, I would think, nine. So it says, taviru, it's interesting. The Torah says, taviru shofar b'chol artzechem. You have to carry the shofar. I would think that the mitzvah is not to blow the shofar. You have to walk around with a shofar around the land. That's what taviru means. What does taviru mean?
Maybe pass the sound.
Oh, but you don't know that. But simply taviru means pass the shofar. So the Gemara says, so I need it for Rav Masna's din. Vavarta teaches me two things. Number one, Vavarta is that it has to be the way it goes out of the animal, meaning you have to blow from the narrow side of the animal. And Taviru teaches us, I would think it means that you carry it. Okay, then the Gemara says, the Idach, but the other opinion, how does he know what Rav Masna says? Number one, that you don't have to carry the shofar, you have to blow it, and also you can't blow from the narrow side. Because he said, how does he know that Rav Masna midishane b'dibure? Because the Torah changes the term. Taviru biyad loymotzis amrit. You can't say taviru means with the hand. Why? Because the gomer avoda mimesha. Meshir Havara can't mean with your hand, it has to mean with your mouth. Why? Because by the Mishkan it says, I'm sorry, by Shefer it says, Vavarta Shefer Trua, and by Meshir Abeinu it says, Vayitzav Meshir, Vayaviru Kol B'machana. And they established a voice, they made a proclamation in the camp, stop bringing stuff for the Mishkan. Malahalan B'kola, just like over there was a voice, Meshir Abeinu made a proclamation. Avkam Bekel over here is also with the voice. Meaning as follows. The Gemara said, I need a pasuk to teach me you don't carry it with your hand. Because Vavarta might mean carry it with your hand. So the Gemara says it can't mean that. Because Meshir Abeinu, when the Jews were donating things for the Mishkan, it says they brought so much stuff that the leaders came to Meshir Abeinu and they said, Meshir, we have Vahisa, we have too much now, and enough. We don't can't use anymore. So it says, Vayaviru Kol B'machana, Moshe Rabbeinu made a proclamation through the camp, and he said, don't bring any more. What did Vayaviru over there mean? Not with their hands, with their voice. So therefore, when it says Vahavarta, which is the same word, it doesn't mean carrying the shofar throughout the land with your hand. It means to blow the shofar. So now the Gemara asks a different question. But the Tana that learns out Rosh Hashanah from what happened in the desert, just like in the desert, they didn't blow shofar, they blow trumpets. So maybe Rosh Hashanah you have to blow trumpets. This opinion learns out Rosh Hashanah from what they did in the desert. So if so, maybe on Rosh Hashanah you have to blow trumpets, not shofar. The Gemara says, no, Talmud Laimad, Tiku b'chedesh shofar, and chedesh, blow a shofar, b'kesa, when the moon's renewed, l'yem chagenu, for the festive day. So the Gemara says, Eze chag shachedesh miskasebe, which Yom Tov is the moon still covered? There's only one Yom Tov in the entire year that there's no moon, which is Aviyem Ezer Rosh Hashanah. It's interesting. If you look in Chumash, it doesn't say you have to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It says, in Tillim, it says, Tiku b'chedesh shofar, b'kesel yem chagenu, when the moon is hidden. So Gemara learns out, there's only one month that a Yom Tov is hidden, which is Rosh Chedesh, when the moon is being reborn, so there's no moon. Right? So that's how we know you have to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah.
Another word, there's just
one kind of tikkun,
which is used for blowing the
shofar.
Right. But that is not used in the Torah in connection with.
Well, this is from Tehillim.
Yeah, but also in the Prophet.
Yeah. But he says, but the fact that the Torah says Bachedish, and what does the Torah say shofar, teaches us you have to blow with a shofar, not with the trumpets. So this that we learn out from the midbar, we learn out how much to blow, or what to, when to blow, whatever. But when do you actually, what do you blow? That we don't learn out from the midbar. Because in the midbar it says clearly trumpets. By shofar it says clearly, by Rosh Hashanah, it says clearly shofar. If it wouldn't say clearly shofar by Rosh Hashanah, we would think that you have to blow trumpets in Rosh Hashanah. Everybody would need trumpet lessons. That'd be cute. Everybody have to blow trumpets. Well, just like everybody trumpet. Learns how to blow shofar, they would learn. If we'd have to know, everybody would learn how to blow a trumpet.
So by the time of the midbar, they didn't have trumpets.
Sure they did.
I think they
more or less.
The Torah
says, "Asei lochoshtei chatzeitzers kesef," and chatzov there means trumpets. I don't know if they were the same sophisticated trumpets, but chatzeitzers Hashem. And the definition of chatzetz is trumpets. And Moshe Rabbeinu actually blew the trumpets in the midbar. He was a trumpet blower. Okay, basic.
Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything.
Yeah. So from now the Gemara concluded this aspect of the Gemara. The question is only where we learn it out from. But everybody agrees so far in the Gemara. You need to blow three truas, and each trua needs a tekiah before and after. The only question, do you learn out from Yovel, do you learn out from the desert, do you learn out from this, that? But this is the bottom line of the Gemara. So basically, according to the bottom line of the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, you have to blow tekiah, trua, tekiah, tekiah, trua, tekiah, tekiah, trua, tekiah. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what is the definition of trua. We know tekiah. That's a simple blow. We know that you need to blow three truas and basically six tekiahs. Some are rabbinic, some are biblical. The Gemara had an argument that two biblical, one rabbinic, two biblical, whatever. I mean, one biblical, two rabbinic. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what is the definition of a trua. What does it mean? So the Gemara says, Iskan Abu B'Kesari, in the city of Kesari, Rabbi Abu instituted. You have to blow as follows. Tekiah, Shleisha Shvarim, Teruah, and Tekiah. He said you have to blow tkiya shvarim trua tkiya. So the Gemara asks, mima nefshach? Like, what are you talking about? I yalula yalil. If trua means a sobbing sound, a crying sound, do tkiya trua tkiya. I ganuche ganach. If it's a moaning sound, make three shvarim, tkiya shvarim tkiya. The Gemara is asking it very simple. Trua can either mean sobbing or moaning. It can mean one of the two. So the Gemara says, why is Rabbi Abu saying you need to blow tkiya, shvarim, trua tkiya? He says, trua either means what we call shvarim, which is a moaning sound, or it means trua, which is a crying sound. But how do you get both? Both for sure doesn't make sense. So the Gemara answers, Misapkale, he's in doubt what it is. He doesn't know if it's moaning or sobbing. And if he doesn't know, he says he blow blow. No. The Gemara's not finished with him yet. The Gemara doesn't let him off so easily. But the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. You can't do that. That's also no good. Because the Gemara established you need to blow tkiya before and a tkiya after. Right? That means you can't have anything between the tkiya and trua. Whatever the trua is, I don't know. But we can't have anything before, between the tkiya and the trua, or between the trua and the second tkiya. You can't have anything. Okay? So now the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. And this is, by the way, the basis, this Gemara is the basis of how we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It's this Gemara. You look in Shulchan Aruch, it's quoting this Gemara, Rosh Hashanah Dav Lamed Daled, of how we blow the shofar. Now let's say, for argument's sake, Shvarim is the real one. Let's say Shvarim, the Gemara is going to ask, let's say Shvarim is the real one. Okay, so you have to kiya Shvarim. That's so far so good. But if true is not the real one, you're separating between the Shvarim and the second tkiya. Because what are you blowing? Tkiya, Shvarim, Trua, Tkiya. So the Gemara says, why does he blow all of them? Because he doesn't know, is Trua Shvarim, or is Trua Trua? Right? But the Gemara, Rav Avira is going to ask a very simple question. What you're saying is not solving the problem. Because let's say the real one is Shvarim. Then you have to blow Tkiya Shvarim Tkiya. The Trua in between the Shvarim and the second Tkiya is a separation. That's no good. Let's say the real one is Trua. So you can't blow Tkiya Shvarim Trua because the Shvarim is separating between the Tkiya and the real Trua. So Gemara says, you're not helping us any. You're telling us that you blow Shvarim Trua because he doesn't know. Is it Shvarim? Is it Trua? But that's not going to solve the problem. Because if it's Shvarim, the second Trua is in the way. If it's Trua, the Shvarim's in the way. So, like the Gemara's Maskula, Rav Avira asks a very simple question. V'dilma Yaluli Hava, maybe a Trua is really the sobbing. Then the Shleish Shvarim is separating between the first Tkiya and the Trua. And he says, so he says, you're not solving the problem. So the Gemara answers, you're right. You blow another Tkiya, Trua, Tkiya. So the Gemara asked, but Dilma Ganuche Hava, maybe a Trua is really a Shvarim. And again, you didn't solve the problem. So the Gemara says, no, Daha Dava Tkiya Shvarim Tkiya, Yitakulo Tkiya Shvarim Tkiya. So the Gemara is saying, and the Gemara is going to explain, what did Rabbi Abu make a takana? That you blow everything. Like we do. Tkiya, Shvarim, Trua, Tkiya three times. Because maybe Trua is both together. Shvarim, Trua. Then you blow Tkiya, Shvarim, Tkiya. Because maybe Shvarim is the real one. And Tkiya, Trua, Tkiya. Because maybe Trua is the real one.
How come you forget what's
They didn't forget. No, because
the they did forget. Yeah, because
they didn't. In fact, the Rishonim ask a question here. The Gaonim, the Shiri Ragon of Haigon, asked a piercing question. Can it be until the times of Ababu nobody fulfilled the mitzvah shefer properly? How could they doubt about a mitzvah that's performed year after year? You found cases in the Gemara, by the way. The classic example is when Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos. Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos, which we know is a rarity. Even in our calendar, it's a rarity. So over there, the Gemara says they forgot the halacha. Because it didn't happen. It could have happened once every 30 years. You know, it was a new generation. They forgot. But the Bishenim are asking, a mitzvah they did year by year. I mean, you can tell everybody forgot. The Gemara is not finished yet, because the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. How do you know Trua if it's both moaning and sobbing? Maybe we blow Shvarim Trua. Maybe it's Trua Shvarim. How do you know it's Shvarim Trua in the set of Shvarim Trua? Maybe it's Trua Shvarim. The Gemara is going to ask that. So maybe you have to blow Tekiah Shvarim Trua Tekiah three times. Then Tekiah Trua Shvarim Tekiah three times. Then Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah, then Trua Tekiah Trua. The Gemara is going to ask that question. How do you know? If you have to do it right, you have to do it right. Yeah? So the Gemara asks, El Rabu Bamai asking. So what did Rabu accomplish? If we don't know what it is, what do you mean he made a takana? Because as the kid says, Iganuchi Gonach, if you're talking about true is a moaning sound, but after they did it. If it's a sobbing crying, after they did it. So Gemara says, so what did Rababu accomplish? He said, maybe true is both together. That's what the Gemara says. In other words, the Gemara says as follows. Before Rababu, basically, they blew Tekiah, Shvarim, Tekiah, and Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah. Rababu accomplished that you blow Shvarim Trua together too. You blow both together. So the Gemara says, Yahachi, Levinami Ipcha, let him blow reverse. Trua, then Shvarim. So the Gemara says, Stamed the Milsa, normally, Kimisra Inish, when a person is having problems, Bereish Ganach, first you moan and then you cry. As the Gemara says, because that's not the normal way of crying. The normal way of crying when you have a problem is and then you start crying. You don't start crying right away. Yeah, that's why Shvarim is Yiddish kvetching. And then you have the crying sound.
Everything comes from the Torah.
In fact, so they asked the question, I mean, the Gaonim, it's a very interesting question, though. What do you mean they didn't know? What do you mean he was in doubt?
Yeah.
How do you be in doubt of something done every year?
Yeah.
So the Gemara answers as follows. That, I mean, the Rishonim answers as follows. Really, Minataira, each one of them was kosher. Either moaning or groaning was good. And therefore, in the previous generations, some people did this way, some people did this way. The Babu made a takana that you do both. But they didn't, it's like, the Rebbe once spoke an interesting sikha. We have Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, chilling. Yeah? What did they do before them? I mean, they either did it, Rashi, or they did Rabbeinu Tam. You tell me, this is once a year, you tell me they doubted something every day? How did the guys in the Gemara do it? Did they wear tefillin like Rashi? Or did they wear tefillin like Rabbeinu Tam? I mean, this is something you could find out easily. And it's interesting because the archaeologists in the old tefillin found both. From both. From the time of Chizkiah Melech, they found both types of tefillin. So like the Rebbe asks, what did they taka do before Rashi Rabbeinu Tam? And what do you mean Rashi Rabbeinu Tam? So the Rebbe learns, the Rebbe once explained, I think it was a poem for Brenga, the Rebbe explained that really both could have been done. Before Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam established halacha, both were good. You could put on tefillin with Rabbeinu Tam, you could put on tefillin like Rashi.
They don't do two tefillins.
No, they were one.
One.
Either one was kosher. Rashi established this is the way the halacha be. I'll give you a simple example. It's not exactly the same, but today people put on tefillin, yeah? Some people wrap it this way. Some people wrap it this way. Some people make a shin here. Some people make a shin on the hand. Yeah? Now, you're going to tell me those people don't put on tefillin? Everybody is yaitu with tefillin. Everybody's yaitu with tefillin. What happens? What happens if today it's impossible? The Jews will unite, let's say, and somebody's going to paskin. No, you have to make the shin here. That's the way it has to be. Yeah, well, of course. So then, the halacha will be that you must do it this way. But before somebody establishes that halacha, if you want, you could do it this way. If you want, you could do it that way. And therefore, the Rebbe learned before Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and that's why they found both types of tefillin.
What's the difference in the parashiyos?
The order of the parashiyos. You know, in the Shel Rosh and then the Shel Yad.
Yeah.
Okay, there's four parashiyos.
Yeah.
The only machlekes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam,
yeah,
and this also the Rambam and a million opinions. What's the order of the parashiyos? And the Rambam paskins, let's say, if you don't do it, Rambam holds like Rashi, I believe. If you don't do it like this, the other way is possible. According to the Rambam, if you wear the other way, like you wear only Rabbeinu Tam's tun, you're not, you didn't possibly, you didn't wear tefillin. So the halacha became established like Rashi. That's why nobody today only puts on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. The halacha is like Rashi in the order of the parshiyos. Alpi Kabbalah, and also basis in halacha, but especially in Kabbalah, you have to put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin also. But even in Chabad, the minhag changed. Like by Pele Shechsidim, many of them have a custom, they start wearing Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin after they get married. In Lubavitch, when we were growing up, we didn't wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin at Bar Mitzvah. At 18, we used to go into the Rebbe every year for Yechidus, for our birthdays. So we went into the Rebbe, this was the custom. At 18 years old, you went into the Rebbe for Yechidus, and you asked the Rebbe if you should start wearing Rabbeinu Tam's. Kamat all the time, the Rebbe said, yes, they are Glachazach, you should start wearing Rabbeinu Tam's too. There were a few unique individuals that on his own, the Rebbe told him to wear Rabbeinu Tam's at Bar Mitzvah. There are a few Bachrim, I know a few guys, that the Rebbe told them they should wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin at Bar Mitzvah. Later on, the Rebbe spoke a sicha, and the Rebbe said, I am instituting that everybody should put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin at Bar Mitzvah. So now it's like a simple minhag. The kids don't even know. I didn't wear tefillin at Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin until we were 18, but nobody did in my time. We wore tefillin at Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin at 18. Many years later, the Rebbe came out with a sicha and said, I'm instituting it, because at the time, whatever you need, the Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin.
What is it?
In fact, there's an interesting story. There were two guys from Australia, two chassidim from Australia, and one guy went into the Rebbe for Yechidus. He was already a married guy. He went into the Rebbe for Yechidus, and he asked the Rebbe about wearing Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. But he wrote to the Rebbe that he doesn't have yet a pair, but he's traveling with this other guy who has, so he doesn't have the Rebbe, he should start. So the Rebbe said to him, you should start, but wait until you get to Australia. Don't wear now. I don't know if he told the Rebbe, he said to the Rebbe, listen, but I'm traveling with this guy and he has. So the Rebbe like didn't react. The Pearl, along the trip to Australia, wasn't like today, non-stop flights. They had to make a few stops. They became separated. And the guy ended up, he started wearing a Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. And then on the trip, they ended up getting separated, and for a day, Taki didn't put on a Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. So he understood why the Rebbe said to him, wait until you get back to Australia. Because it's worse to start and then